when you look at the similes that the Buddha gives to the practice, you'll be struck by how many of them have to do with people developing skills. The wise, experienced cook, the carpenter, the archer. He's making the point that as you're working out the meditation, and in fact as you do the whole practice, you're trying to become more skillful in how you act. So think back on skills that you developed. But if you know what lessons you can learn, one of them is you have to have desire, but you have to learn how to focus the desire. If you simply sit there wanting to have a good dish come out of the kitchen, it's not going to happen. You have the desire, and then you actually go through the actions that have to be done to produce that dish. And you have to take responsibility for what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to learn. You have to see the connection between, I did this and it didn't come out right. And you have to figure out, well, what did I do wrong? If you say, well, it didn't come out the way I wanted it to, so therefore I'm not going to be responsible for it, that's not going to help develop a skill at all. Look at the Buddha's instructions to Rahula. Before you act, ask yourself, this action that I want to do, notice there's an I there. Will it lead to harm for myself, for other people, or for both? While you're doing the action, the question is, this action that I am doing, can you take responsibility for the action while you're doing it? And then this action that I have done, did it lead to harm? Did it not lead to harm? And even if you didn't intend for it to lead to harm, but ended up causing harm, you still recognize, well, this is something I did. I created these results. I have to figure out how not to repeat that mistake. When you take responsibilities for your actions, then you can learn from them. There is a certain school of thought that says when you're practicing, you have to have the idea that there's nobody there practicing. If you think that somebody's practicing, you're starting out with wrong view, and that's going to skew everything. But it's obvious from the way the Buddha teaches Rahula that that's not the case. You hold on to a sense of I that's responsible, that's trying to be capable, and wants to learn. That's the I you want to cultivate. Without that sense of I, it's going to be really hard to develop any kind of skill. Actions just come and actions go. And if there's nobody responsible for them, well, they just come and go. And some people think that's wisdom. When the Buddha talks about the discernment that's penetrating, a discernment into arising and passing away, the important adjective there is that it's penetrative. And you look at when the Buddha discusses when your discernment is penetrative, what does that mean? Well, it means that you see that there are skillful actions and unskillful ones, skillful arisings and unskillful ones. And if something is skillful, you want to encourage it. If it's not, then you want to abandon it. So again, there's going to be some desire there, and there's going to be a sense of you who's going to be responsible for the actions. You've got to maintain that way down the path. Even on the higher levels of the noble attainments, non-returners still have a lingering sense of I am. We talked about this a little bit this afternoon. Stream enders have abandoned the idea that I am this with regard to the aggregates, either identifying with the aggregates themselves or identifying yourself as the owner of the aggregates. Or is believing that you're in the aggregate. As, for example, you might have a sense of infinite consciousness and you're there inside the infinite consciousness. or you're in there in the body, or that the aggregate is in you. You identify with the infinite consciousness, and then the body is functioning inside that. All those kinds of beliefs the stream enter has abandoned. But there still is that lingering sense of I am, because there's still work to be done. As the Buddha says in stream entry, you've perfected virtue. But there's still work that needs to be done in terms of concentration and discernment. And the I am is going to be doing that work. When that work is done, then you can put the I am down. So there's an I lingering around. One of the images in the canon is of clothes that have been washed. And even though the dirt is out, the agent that got the dirt out is still lingering, and its scent is still lingering in the cloth. After all, though, you put it away, and the lingering scent finally disappears. The analogy, though, doesn't explain why it disappears. That's because it's not needed anymore. But as long as you need it, you use it. So take responsibility for your mistakes as much as you take responsibility for the things that you want to do well. Because only then that you're going to learn from your mistakes. This judgment of who made a mistake is not a final judgment. It's more judging a work in progress. We've been working at this question of how to find happiness for who knows how long, how many lifetimes. We have to recognize, okay, we've made mistakes. If you don't recognize that, then what are you going to do? This is not one of those cases where you say, well, I didn't intend for it to be this way, so I'm not responsible. You were the one who did the action. You've got to live with the results. That's the way karma works. You've got to figure out, what am I doing wrong? Because it's amazing how many habits carry over from life to life to life. I think I've told you that story of King Ashoka. There's a belief that John Lee was King Ashoka reborn. When I learned that, I got a biography of King Ashoka, which had some translations of the King Ashoka Nidex in the back. And so I translated some of them into Thai for John Fuang to listen to. And there was one where Ashoka says to his government workers, if you want to satisfy me that you're quick enough in responding to my desires, you have to know what I want before I do. And John Fung laughed at that, and he said, 2,000 years, he didn't change. So look at your actions now. And you'll probably see a lot of patterns that are responsible for the way you are now, even though the actual action that got you here in this particular set of circumstances may have been a past action, but the patterns carry over. Think in terms of the seven treasures, or the noble treasures the Buddha set out. Which one of those are you still lacking? Lacking in conviction, lacking in a sense of shame or compunction, lacking in virtue? Lacking in learning about the Dharma, lacking in generosity and the goodwill that goes with generosity. Or lacking in discernment. If you see that something is missing, work on that. So think of this as a set of skills that you're developing. Focus on the causes. The causes are your actions. You simply sit at, look at things you've done in the past, and they didn't come out right, you just simply sit and look at them and ask why. You don't just stop with the question, why. You have to go back and remember, what did I do? Now sometimes these things are way back in the past, but you can look at the way you approach your breath right now. That'll tell you a lot about your mind, how you approach things. Are you able to maintain a good emotional balance as you work with the meditation and put up with times when the breath is not going well? And have the stamina to stick with it until you can try to figure things out. That's a good sign. If you don't have that kind of stamina, you just give up and say, well, this is not working. That's not going to get you anywhere. So the act of judgment about responsibility, we're not here for a final judgment. We're here learning how to master a skill. And the powers of judgment are an important part of this. After all, ultimately we're going to be asking the question, what is worth doing, what's not worth doing? When is a sense of self worth maintaining, and when is it not worth maintaining anymore? When does it have value, and when does it no longer have value? Think of it as a tool. This is a simile that the Ajahns like to use a lot. You're building a chair, you're building a desk. You need to hold on to your tools. You need to take good care of them. But when the desk is done, the chair is done, then you can put the tools down. But don't put them down until the work is finished.